Hello, this is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. I am so happy because it's been a year, and it shouldn't have been this long, but my good friend and colleague, Dr. Robert Dunlap, who is a clinical sexologist and an award-winning filmmaker, including Beyond Vanilla and The Happy Hooker, and others, is with me again. Hello, Robert. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Good, Robert. Well, and I wanted to let our audience know that as they listen to us, if they have any comments or questions, you are willing to give away your award-winning documentary, Zaviera Hollander, The Happy Hooker, Portrait of a Sexual Revolutionary. And this documentary, which you worked on for years, and I saw various incarnations of it, is about one of the world's most important sexual icons. So we're going to give that away to the first caller who calls in. Robert, I would like to talk a little bit before we go any further about the SAR and the bestiality and some of the other things about your documentary, because you've become more and more famous for this as it's won awards.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. It's really been an exciting adventure, and it's one of the things that is really a thrill and an honor to have actually been a part of. And it's true. It took almost 8 years of my life to get it to being on iTunes. So all of the different incarnations, the different edits, the different source materials, it literally was, though, a labor of love. So thank you for saying that.
And you're welcome. And, you know, I really, really learned from this, and it was kind of exciting at the two or three screenings I went to over the years to actually meet Zaviera Hollander. And I even got to go to her bed and breakfast in Amsterdam, which we're going to talk about because you and Dr. Patty Britton will be doing a SAR. We'll explain about that in just a bit, too. There, right there.
Yes.
Yes. So, Robert, would you talk a little bit about how you got involved to make this movie? Because I think it's a fascinating subject, and we did cover some of this a year ago, but for those who were not listening at the time, I think they'd like to hear about it. How you got involved? What happened?
Sure, yes. Well, this actually was a kernel that started to just sprout, so to speak, way back in 2001. Zaviera does her annual trip to California, and because she is the cousin of my partner, Dr. Patty Britton, she asked if she could stay with us when we were living in Malibu. Anyway, what happened was I was in the final stages of another documentary called In My Father's Footsteps, which is a World War II true story. And she was very curious, wanting to know what I was doing, and she said, could I see what you're working on? And I said, well, Zaviera, it's not quite done yet, but sure, I would appreciate your comments. So I stuck her in the editing bay, and she proceeded to watch the film, and when it was over, she was crying, and I said, did you like it? And she said, I loved it. Darling, you must do my life story. And it took me 10 seconds to say yes.
Of course. What an offer. Although she, I know from our personal conversations, she wasn't always the easiest person to work with, but never boring, always fascinating.
This is true. In fact, I've made this comment at several film festivals and other places. Sometimes I felt like I was a dentist attempting to extract information out of her, because in the very beginning, she did not want people to keep thinking about her being the happy hooker. She wanted people to think about her as being this great writer. She's both.
And I said, she's both, yes.
What you really need to have people understand is how you became this great writer, how you became so prolific, and what really made you famous is what people want to know about.
I have a quote from her.
Yes.
You can't just be good in bed anymore. You have to be good at the keyboard, too. Well, she was good at writing her column for, it was Penthouse, wasn't it, for many years?
Yes, and that particular thing was Call Me Madam.
Yes, and Call Me Madam.
She was with Penthouse for over 35 years doing that column. And just there's an amazing source there of information. And what that source is, people would confide in her about, am I normal because I like so-and-so? Am I normal? So what she did was she really pointed out to people how they are normal, no matter what their sexual persuasions are.
In our last show, you quoted Kinsey as saying, the only unnatural sex act is the one you can't perform. That's such a great quote. It puts everything in perspective, doesn't it, Robert?
It does. And one of the other things that I'm really proud about being, and I'm sure you are as well, of being a sex coach and a clinical sexologist, is there's another great quote from Kinsey, because I'm quite a hero. He's been my hero, you know, since I got into the field. And that is, we are the recorders and the documentarians of what people do. And we do not judge what their behaviors are. We're only the recorders and the documentarians of this field.
Well, I know as a sex therapist that there is no room for being judgmental. It doesn't work if somebody comes in with a particular fetish or whatever, and the therapist says, you do what? That is not helpful. And that's one reason for the SAR, and I'm going to tease the audience a little bit more, because we're not going to talk about that quite yet, but the SAR really helps professionals with some of their judgments and helps them come out. And so, yeah, I like that. I like what Kinsey says a lot. And yes. So
one of the things, you know, and when we look at what's going on today, speaking of judgmental, there's something that is really offensive that Mr. Limburger, I'll call, has quoted and said about this woman who is so, how can I say, wanting to empower women with choice. And to call someone a whore, a prostitute, and a slut, what kind of judgment is that?
Oh, it's horrible. And I was actually glad that Rush Limbaugh lost some of his sponsors, because he was just outrageous in saying that.
Well, it's really inappropriate.
Yeah.
And someone, where did he get this information about this woman who was asked just to be, quote, an expert witness? It's kind of crazy.
It is kind of crazy. So Zaviera,
yes,
who worked for Penthouse, I didn't realize it was 30 years. That's pretty impressive.
Yes.
Especially when you think about how a lot of sexual people in the media don't have a shelf life as long as Exy, as we nickname her. Many people do.
Yes.
She's had an amazing, I mean, she's been around for 40 years.
Yes. One of the great things is, too, and how many people can you name outside of Cher, Madonna, that you know them just by their first name?
That's
or
true.
Only name? Okay? That's how much of an icon and how much she really helped the sexual revolution in the world, not just in the United States, but worldwide, and she continues to. I'm always amazed when people, after they've either seen the film or they want to talk about her. And I was recently interviewed by the Bulgarian press.
Bulgarian press, wow.
And the guy said to me, he said, do you realize I learned English by reading The Happy Hooker?
I love that. You know, I read The Happy Hooker in 1973 when I guess it first came out. I thought it was just amazing, and this was way before I decided to become, to go to graduate school and be, ultimately to become a marriage family therapist and a sex therapist. I just was amazed, and I learned a lot because I was pretty young then compared to how old I am now. You know, after almost 40 years, her titillating bestseller memoir,
yes,
it put her name on the tongues of the masses.
Yes.
The one-time madam still radiates. And, you know, she talked about being a secretary before her entry into the $1,000-a-night prostitution business in New York City, and how she enjoyed her work.
It was $1,000 an hour.
An hour. So at today's rates, that would be $10,000 an hour?
Oh, probably. Probably.
Yeah.
And some of her clients, now that she's come out about it, because she was very tight-lipped, and that's one of the things that a lot of people respected about her. She never named names until after they passed on. But when you realize that one of her clients was Alfred Hitchcock, one of her clients was Frank Sinatra. My word. Yes, she finally, you know, revealed that, but it was only after they died, just to keep, you know, everything above board. But
yeah,
she had many, many famous, well-known people. And one of the other funny things is, she would occasionally run into these people at some sort of an event or whatever, and of course, they would look the other way because they were too embarrassed to acknowledge why they knew her.
Of course, understandably. But, you know, it's interesting that somebody like Frank Sinatra would would take advantage of her services, because he clearly had no trouble getting any woman he wanted, and the reputation that he preceded him was that he had a huge penis. Did you know that?
Yes. Well,
okay.
There are other very famous people who are absolutely famous for that. And believe it or not, one of the people that everybody in Hollywood has always talked about is Milton Berle.
I was just going to say, I know that too.
And that's someone who I actually knew. And absolutely, his wife, Ruth Berle, did you know that she was the highest-ranking woman during World War II in the military?
I did not know that. Isn't that interesting?
She was one of the smartest, loveliest women I've ever had the pleasure of knowing.
And wasn't she in the 50s and 60s quite the socialite in Hollywood?
Oh, absolutely. She was, there was a very, and still is, one of the top fundraising organizations in the world. It's called Cher, Share, which means share happily and reap endlessly. And she was one of the founders of that organization. Do you know that they would get Frank Sinatra, speaking of Frank, Sammy Davis Jr., Robert Mitchum, all of these people to perform in this one special night a year, and they consistently were able to bring in over $1 million.
Which was a lot of money in those days.
Still.
Well, of course, still.
Yes.
Well, so, you know, and so it, I don't know. You knew her. I'm going to surmise that even though probably Milton Berle philandered a bit, she was still a happy wife and maybe even a sexually happy wife.
I would think so. And
yeah, and of course, you know, way too many men obsessed about penis size, so we can't just say it was because he had a big dick.
Right.
We can't just say that.
Yes.
But,
but he was a lovely man on top of it.
And yes, I've heard that. What was your, because you said you met both of them, yes?
Oh, yes. When you were
young and doing all these commercials in Hollywood and...
Yeah. There used to be a wonderful Super Bowl party that was given by Pierre Cossette. And a lot of the people who I would meet at those parties as well as at other functions, I was very lucky that I did a lot of television work and feature work in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I would see Milton and Ruth both at the Cher, because I did actually 25 years in a row, I was a volunteer for the Cher organization, either photographing things or being someone who would take the celebrities to the green rooms or make sure that they were well provided for. And a real funny side note, that's how one time Robert Mitchum and I disappeared for like 5 hours with a bottle of scotch.
Oh, you must have some stories about that, Robert.
Tell
a little bit, since we've veered off into a little bit of Hollywood gossip, but that's always fun and probably good radio, so please.
Yes, I really enjoyed a lot of that stuff. And these people, you know, when you get into a certain, I'll call it stratosphere.
Yeah.
As you move up that ladder, it gets where the friends and the connections get smaller and smaller, so to speak.
Well, I bet it's because you can only trust certain people.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. And I was really blessed that I'd never, ever been starstruck. I'm a huge fan of people, but I was never where I would be imposing because they knew they could trust me with these celebrities. So
you were the perfect young, handsome Cher volunteer who could also, with a good brain, who could have some fun and carry on a decent conversation.
Yes, I could. Thank you.
You're welcome. And my good friend, Barbie Benton, who's been on this program,
You know that. We did a commercial together.
And that's why I brought her up. You did a commercial. Tell us about the commercial you did with Barbie Benton.
We did a commercial for Toyota. It was their first line of the model was a Corolla. And we actually filmed this commercial for Toyota over in Catalina. They flew us over to Catalina where they had this new Corolla coming in on like a barge. And Barbie, myself, and a few others were literally like dancing and doing this really, you know, 70s kind of psychedelic is all I could explain commentary about this new car, a new Corolla. And the funny line about it was only 1666.
That sounds pretty inexpensive these days.
Can you imagine buying an automobile, a brand new one, for $1,600?
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Did you send me a clip of that somehow some time ago?
Yeah, because I thought she'd get a kick out of seeing it as
yes.
well.
Yes, and I think she did.
Yes.
When I had her on this radio program, Love, Lust, and Laughter, we had some of her old recordings from when she sang country western and
right.
You know,
right.
She does have a beautiful voice, and I hope to get her back on this program. I haven't asked her recently, but I will again.
And I'm sure she had some wonderful stories to tell you about Hef.
Well, she did. And then when I had the show in Hawaii, she was on twice. I had a radio show that went on for 5 years when I lived in Honolulu, and it went to all the neighboring islands. It was an actual radio studio. And, she was with Hef for 7 years, and she there, and then I think on this program she spoke about her relationship with him and the fun she had with him and
sure.
the way she got him to travel, because before Barbie he hadn't wanted to travel that much.
Mm-hmm.
So he got that big bunny airplane,
a yeah.
black one with a circular bed, she talked about that, so that they could have sex before they arrived in London. But there was also a shower on the plane. So she could, shower and make up and arrive just looking fabulous. And having a much better, no doubt, a much better cross-Atlantic trip than most would have.
Yeah, the Mile High Club.
Indeed, without that cramped little bathroom situation.
Yeah.
So I want to remind our listeners, many of you go to the archives and download this, but if you're listening live and you'd like a copy of Dr. Robert Dunlap's wonderful award-winning documentary, The Happy Hooker, Portrait of a Sexual Revolutionary, you need to call in with a comment or a question at 888-874-4888. And this is a fabulous documentary. And I know you've gotten some good feedback about this, because it did take, I know it wasn't full time, but it took a lot of your time over 8 years.
Oh, it sure did. A lot of it, what people don't realize, is getting the rights to clips as well.
Oh, yeah,
as
talk about that, because that's very interesting.
Well, I had to get, because she was just so famous at the time, she was interviewed, a wonderful interview that was done by Larry King.
Yes, that's right.
It took an enormous amount of effort. I even had to supply CNN, his particular group, a cut version of how I envisioned having him in the structure of the film, all kinds of commentary about that he would not be shown in any possible way bad light. So that took an awful lot of doing. And what people don't realize is when they see the film, it personally cost me $147 a second.
Oh, my goodness.
To have him. Also, what was really fun was doing the research. We found a clip where Zaviera is interviewed on the street as she's exiting the courthouse about her being, asked
deported.
To leave the country. Yes. That is really amazing. And the person was listed at NBC at the time as Jerry Rivers.
Wow, and I love her quote, in America you can get away with murder, but not with sex.
Exactly. What's the key is, Jerry Rivers ended up becoming who he really was, Geraldo Rivera.
Ah, yes, I thought that's who you were talking about. And he's always been on the cutting edge of stuff.
Absolutely. And he interviews her on the street. So getting that, again, it's very costly just to secure and get clearance for that.
Yeah. Well, this was a labor of love, and I have always felt, you know this, because I am your supporter and your champion and your friend, that for all that you time and effort and love you put into this documentary, you need to get it back way tenfold, if not more. And you are, maybe this is a good segue into what you and your partner, my darling friend, Dr. Patty Britton, who's been on this program as well, you're going to do a SAR, that would be Sexual Attitude Reassessment and Restructuring.
Yes.
Program in Amsterdam. But tell us, before we go to the Netherlands, why don't you tell us about what you and Dr. Patty do through your ISSR. Tell us about what that means. And what you do in Los Angeles, and then what you're going to do in Amsterdam.
Yes.
And we have, by the way, Robert, we have about 4 minutes before the break, so we'll continue this after the break.
Okay, perfect. Well, quickly, we have Sex Coach University, which both Dr. Patty and myself are the co-founders of, and I'm really proud to say that we have students in countries like Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, Belgium, Poland, the Czech Republic, Canada, Brazil. We have just an enormous collection of some of the most fabulous students who are all going to become sex coaches.
Isn't that wonderful? And I know you have MDs who want to become sex coaches, and that's great because a lot of medical doctors don't know enough about sexuality.
No, we're really lucky. In fact, one of the people who's coming from India to do our SAR is a very famous MD, Deepak Jumani from Mumbai, India.
Yeah, I think, you know, I presented a paper in 2004 in Mumbai, formerly Bombay, at the Asian International, whatever it was, I've forgotten the title. But I think I met him, because all the medical doctors from all around India came to this conference.
Yes, he's quite famous, and we're really, you know, thrilled to have him lend so much support.
That's great.
He got so much out of, he's already taken one of our SARs. He flew from Mumbai to Culver City to do one, that he's going to fly again for his second SAR with us.
Wonderful. So you're tell the listeners again how they might get more information about this.
Okay, they can go to our website, www.sexcoachu, that's the letter U, .com. We have all of our different classes and courses and tracks listed on there, as well as a more in-depth description of what a SAR is and just the purpose of the SAR. Now, we also have other live trainings that are going to be coming up again here in Culver City, as well as we now have been California State approved to be teaching sex coaching as a certificate program. where people can actually receive a master's degree from the Institute of the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality in San Francisco.
You know, that is just incredible. You and Dr. Patty, kudos that you have managed to bring all of this about. It's very impressive. You have both worked very hard to do this, and I know you for many years, and Dr. Patty too, of course, and so I have so much admiration for you in that you've been able to pull this off. So we're going to go to the break, and when we return, I'd like Dr. Robert to talk about the SAR a little bit more in detail, and especially the SAR that's going to occur at Dr. Xaviera, she's not a doctor, at Xaviera's place in Amsterdam. That's pretty, and what else is going to go on in the Netherlands. Okay, we'll be right back. We're back. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, and I'm so pleased because I have, again, my colleague and friend, Dr. Robert Dunlap, a seasoned media expert with appearances on over 400 commercials and in print, film, and television. He's been a director and a documentary filmmaker. We've already talked about his documentary. He's had several, but the one we've been talking about is about the Happy Hooker. And if you still want to call in to make a comment or a question at 888-874-4888, you can win a free copy of this wonderful DVD with extras. Talk about those extras, Dr. Robert.
Oh, thank you. Xaviera has an incredible art collection, and it's, of course, erotic art. But she has some works that were made by an artist, Amalete, who was a very famous Slovakian architect. But his midnight hobby was painting prostitutes.
What fun.
So Xaviera, when he passed away, he had wanted to give this collection to her, which he did, and it's extraordinary. So within the extras of the DVD, you will see a large portion of her erotic collection.
So, Robert, tell people how they might get this if they're too shy or they're not, or they're listening to the archived version of this show. How can they get this DVD? It is such an amazing documentary, and I haven't even seen the extras yet. I've seen the original part, but how can they get this?
I'm really happy and pleased to say that they can get this now even on iTunes. And you can either buy a copy of it, or you could just even download it. You can download a copy of it for only $3.
Wow, such a deal.
Yes.
Yes. So, all right. So let's move into the SAR.
Yes.
And you have on your website the theissr.com. I'm going to just read a little bit of this quote from, she puts her name in here, Leslie Campbell of Oklahoma.
Yes.
She said, SAR was a life-changing event. I got out of my shell and learned so much. I can't imagine having skipped this once-in-a-lifetime chance to learn and grow. So tell us a little more about the SAR and remind our listeners what it stands for and what people often experience by taking this course.
Okay, perfect. A SAR is a sexual attitude reassessment or readjustment. And a SAR essentially is a very experiential process. And this was developed in San Francisco at the Institute from which both Dr. Patty and myself are a graduate.
Yeah, say the full name of the Institute, Robert.
The Institute for the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality. Now, the Institute was founded by Dr. Ted McLavenna as well as Wardell Pomeroy. Wardell Pomeroy was the right-hand man, so to speak, of Dr. Kinsey.
That's right.
When Kinsey passed away, Wardell Pomeroy wanted to have his legacy, as well as his institute that he had at Indiana University, move west. And they wanted to move west because they wanted to go to a city in an area that was very sexually positive, which was San Francisco.
San Francisco, yes.
So, literally, the process, normally, when you're an institute PhD candidate or someone who is studying clinical sexology, a true SAR is an eight-day experience.
Mm.
You are absolutely forbidden to use a cell phone, watch television, or anything else, because the desire is to keep you in the process of this experience. Now, I'll give you some of the highlights of the experience so that you have an understanding of also the value and why it is so invaluable for someone who wants to become a sex coach, a therapist, or who works with individuals to help them into their sexual wellness.
Yes, good.
The experience is you are absolutely immersed into homosexuality so that you see where am I either on the Kinsey or the Klein scale of how I feel about sexuality as being a homosexual or any of these kinds of things that you need to really have an understanding in depth of, so that if someone comes to you presenting their issue about homosexuality, shall we say, you have no preconceived ideas and or judgments about that person. Because you understand it, you get it, you live it. And that's to say also, that doesn't mean that you become homosexual, but you are so immersed in it that you understand every component of it experientially.
So your presentations encompass media, and that
yes.
would include contemporary film, television, and art, along
yes.
with presentations and panels of live speakers, demonstrations
yes.
showing the potential range of human sexual expression today.
Exactly. You absolutely nailed it. One of the things that we're really excited about now is to be able to present this in such a safe, sexually positive environment, which is at Xaviera's Bed and Breakfast.
Yeah, oh yes, and that is so exciting. And as I said at the top of the show, you know, I was there a few years ago, and it is a charming place, and she's charming, but it's exactly the right place where you should have this.
Yes.
It's got
also,
sexual vibes yeah. all over the place.
Precisely. And what we're doing, we have some of the extras. We're going to be escorted to the sex district itself. We're
oh,
going
the
to
red
have,
light district.
Yes. We're going to have, we're going to be going to the Amsterdam Museum of Sex. We're going to have actual live demonstrations on BDSM and kink and fetish. We're going to a special sex toy shop.
Only in the Netherlands. They're so open. It's wonderful.
Well, that's the other part of it. So when you're immersed in this 3 days, it's actually, we have lap-over days, so to speak, where it could end up being 5 days that you're absolutely given this SAR experience.
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful. It's why our SARs are absolutely life-changing and altering.
And, by the way, we have to, if people go to the website, they can get CEs if you're ASECT. You know, it's wonderful. While you enjoy the magic of Holland.
Yes. And in the future...
15 CEs, yes.
Yes. In the future, we're also going to be, and we're exploring all of this now, which is very important as well, for people to get credits from the American College of Sexology.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's my place where I got my PhD.
Yes, and so...
So I'm glad to hear that.
Really,
you're also going to do you're going to do field trips?
Yes.
The Dutch sex shop?
Yes, and the other reason why we chose this particular date and time is because it also coincides with the Tulips Festival.
Oh, stop right there. I've got a great joke. So,
please.
Yeah, well, you probably know it. But what's better than roses on your piano? Tulips on your organ.
And that's
have you heard that joke?
Oh, yes, I love it.
I do, too.
Not to digress, but I have a very funny joke that I think the audience will
Please, don't we like jokes? I mean, the third word of this show is laughter. Love, lust, and laughter. So let's try to generate some laughter.
Well, at one of Pierre Cassette's parties, I had the great pleasure of having dinner with George Burns. And I'm sitting next to this beautiful woman who was then next to George Burns, and on the other side was another gorgeous woman. And I looked at George. He's over there with this just great grin and smile. And I said, George, this is a funny thing to ask you, but what is it like? You're going to be 100 years old soon. What's sex life like? And he said, Avi, it's like shooting pool with a rope.
Oh, God. That's good. Well, they didn't have Viagra back then.
So that was one of
But, you know, he kept a sense of humor about it.
Oh, he did.
And he was an amazing man. Yes.
That's why he played God.
George Burns. And then, he just kept on, didn't he?
Yes, he did. All the way to the end.
All the way to the end. A real inspiration. Because, you know, my other credential is I'm a gerontologist. And about to do a speech for a very large retirement community this next Wednesday. And I have, for quite a long time, talked about successful aging and sexuality, and I've done some studies about that. So I think George Burns, even rope comment aside, you know, he was... Of course, sex does not have to equal intercourse. There's all these other ways you can bring pleasure and the touching. And so many older folks are not touched enough.
No, they're not. And it's one of the sad things that the rest of the world has, believe it or not, they allow sex workers. And when I say that, I'm prefacing workers because there are a lot of people, as they age, they really need that kind of touch and hands-on. They need that desperately, just, you know, for the success of their wellness and their life.
Well, you and I talked about this, I think, a year ago on this program, that in some countries, people with disabilities, the sex workers are covered.
Yes, that is correct. And even in the Soviet Union, prostitution was something that it wasn't forbidden. If someone needed that attention, they were given that.
Yeah.
It certainly
makes sense. There's something that you talked about with me off the air. You were interviewed by ABC News about bestiality.
Yes.
And about this dog. And let's venture into this because it's provocative, but, you know, this program never shies away from provocative. So talk about that, Robert.
Well, yes. Now, there's a very interesting case that's going on now in the state of Arizona, and that's where this woman had solicited through Craigslist to find a dog that she could perform sex with for herself, as well as, I guess, her husband and someone else who wanted to watch. And
wow.
Because of this, she was discovered, and there's a court case going on with this. Now, what I found really interesting about this is that it isn't new. This is nothing that's new. Also, the other thing is what Kinsey had done with his research on the human sexual male was he found, even in the 50s, when he was doing his research, that a lot of farm workers and people who lived on farms, you know, said, yes, I've had sex with animals. And it was quite prevalent even then. Now, that was one of the master things of Kinsey, his ability to ferret out this type of information that is invaluable, because he was able to cull all of this and get what is known as the Kinsey scale, where you could define a person's sexuality numerically, 0 being totally heterosexual to a 7 being, you know, absolutely gay or homosexual. So all of these other places within that continuum, it was invaluable what he was able to do as a scientist and someone who was able to get this kind of specific information about what people do sexually. Invaluable. So he really set the standard so that people were able to look at it in actual numbers. So what he found was there was, at that particular time, even during the 50s...
Yeah, 50s, when everything was... Well, I mean, there was repression. There wasn't much talk about sexuality.
No, and so it opened sexuality back up to the public, where they be so curious and so... He was able to present it in such a scientific manner. Do you realize that he was funded by the Rockefellers?
I know. And I know that changed at the end. But anyway, it started out well.
Yes. Yes. Hello?
Yes. No, I'm responding to you. I just... there are so many things from Kinsey that are really relevant, and he was a pioneer for sure. One of the great quotes from his book is that his books, his studies, is that when two rats were mounting each other and cheese was presented, the female rat looked at the cheese. The male rat did not look at the cheese and just kept putting his penis into her. And
yes.
And it's really true that women, females, rats or otherwise, multitask. They look at the cheese. They're good, but males focus. And that was another thing that Kinsey discovered.
Yes. Now, the other thing is that even within the world of insects, when you look at a praying mantis, the male can even be where the female, which is larger, will literally can eat the head off of, and he won't stop. He's still going. The body will stay in motion. Do you know that?
I didn't know that. That's fascinating.
It is.
Go back to the, you were interviewed by ABC News, Bestiality.
Yes.
And then you asked a very good question. What was that?
Who asked the
dog?
Yes, and I think it's really important that, and I believe this very strongly, that everything is okay as long as it's consensual. And
exactly.
Among consenting adults.
Exactly.
And I wonder, what permission is the dog giving?
Right.
I really find that curious that, you know, that's something where I agree with whatever this particular suit or enforcement act is going to take place because of, an animal.
So, Robert, did you discuss this then when ABC News called
you?
Yes,
I did. Yes.
Yeah.
The same thing, especially because they wanted to know my opinion and my point of view and my personal point of view about this is I really don't think it's appropriate behavior.
Right. Well, yes, again, who asked the dog?
Yeah, exactly, you know, so...
That's the bottom line, who asked the dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so, but you and your partner, another just lovely friend of mine, Dr. Patty Britton, who's been on this program,
You're
doing all this good work together, and would you repeat before we have to stop the program... the websites where listeners can
if they're interested, and we also they can sign up to get our newsletter, our blog.
Oh, good.
Website. It's SexCoachU, the letter U, one word, SexCoachU.com. And we're happy to say that we have some incredible faculty on board with us, Gina Ogden, Tammy Nelson, just a whole array of people that are part of our faculty now who have this expertise in other areas of sexuality, from sex and spirituality or spirituality and sex to like yourself. I'm sure your audience doesn't know that you were actually one of the people who was appointed by President Clinton to be on his committee for sex and aging.
Well, thank you, Robert. A little cross. That's really nice. That's really nice that you said that.
Well, it's
and
true.
It's true. It is true. I was a presidential appointed delegate. And Bill Clinton and I had a personal relationship even.
Yes.
And long time ago. So anyway, that's really nice that you mentioned that. So let's sign off. But Robert Dunlap, you are just the best, and I look forward to seeing you again and Patty.
Great. Thank you so much for inviting me on your show. It's always a real privilege to, you know, speak with you about topics that we're both so in love with.
I know. Isn't that the truth? Let me just say before I sign off that next week we'll continue the conversation with Dr. Hernando Chavez, and we'll talk a little more about kink and so on. So please join us again. And thank you for tuning in. This is Dr. Diana Wiley signing off.
Telefonerai probabilmente a me troschiavo d'amore.